you did the singing for yourself and for me, so that's good. Is anybody here from Alabama or have any kind of attachments to Alabama? Yes? All right. When we were singing earlier, I don't know whether or not, I just thought I'd kind of introduce it this way. When we were singing Jesus Saves, I was a young person, not much older than Matt in Alabama, in a First Baptist Church of Mobile, Alabama. And I was down there in that church trying to find a home church while I was stationed there in the Coast Guard in my third year of service. So I was about in the same place that Matt was back then. But I was not prepared for what was going to happen in that church service. And it as the words began to sing, you know, we have heard a joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And you go through the first verse. And as I began singing the second verse, it says, waft it on the rolling tide. Everybody was singing, but when they got to that part, they all shouted out, rolling tide. And the people here that have attachments with Alabama understand what that means, because that is roll tide. And I also was told many times when I told that story to a football coach that Barbara and I know very well, Gene Stallings, Babe Stallings is what he's known, when he was the coach for the Crimson Tide of Alabama, he said, oh, that is replicated in many Alabama churches on Sunday mornings after a victorious win. So I guess I just thought I'd share that with you. When we were singing that song, I got a smile across my face. You know, I love it when God comes together. We're talking about many of the most precious thing that we have in our heart is the Spirit of the Lord. And yet it is under attack on a daily basis. Matter of fact, in most cases, I can say and I can attest, most minutes of every day. And I love it when God comes together, because in the 33rd Psalms, where it says, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing, he makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When I heard Kevin reading that scripture this morning, I realized, I love it when God does that. I realized how he was placing this service together. Because in the 34th chapter of Psalms, starting with 11 through 14, King David is speaking to the youth. He is speaking to the young people that are gathered around him. And he says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongues from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. I was trying to figure out what the title of this sermon would be, so I just kind of put it down as Peace in the Midst of a Continuing War, the Happiness of Those Who Trust in God. That's a long title, but that's what it is. I find that we are mostly at war with ourselves. We interact poorly through the use of our tongue. That's one to another. Especially those wars of our personal nature, those that are our internal space, one to another. It just amazes me that you could go many ways with a sermon like this, because as Kevin was saying, with the amount of discourse that's going on in our country today around the embassies, the religious battles that we can see unfolding. Yet David says, seek peace and pursue it. You must always look for ways to seek peace. And peace starts at home. It starts at home in your heart. And it says, David says in God's word, pursue it. Pursue it. That requires work. Work on our part. And I was always taught, and when I took football, that the greatest defense is an offense. So you pursue. What David is saying is that peace that you need inside your heart to keep you level at all times, you must pursue it. Let's go back to the peace that evades us. I would say that most of us would be standing here or sitting here. I'm standing here. You all are sitting. That the peace evades us. The peace in our heart. I talk with people every single day that they emanate a need for peace. Why is peace so evasive? Surely we can find peace somewhere, wouldn't you think? It's evasive. Maybe someplace within us. Certainly not around us. I'm going to go through some scriptures that are going to be interlocked, and I didn't realize it, but it started in Psalms 33, not 34. Kevin brought Psalms 33 to us this morning because it plays right into Psalms 34. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn to some scriptures, and we're going to be fairly quick about it, so we won't waste much time, but I think the point will be clear. So let's go to Matthew 10, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 10, 34 through 36, and we'll read that. And Christ here brings division to this world. It says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And as these verses begin to interlock themselves together, now we're going to go to Joshua 24:12. And in Joshua 24:12, we hear that it says, "I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you." And we're talking about battles that were done in which the Israelites wanted to conquer. "Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor and the cities which you did not build." There's things happening here where we see that Christ is bringing division. In Matthew 34 through 36, and we hear in the Old Testament where God's sword, it's not by your sword that you're going to accomplish anything. It's through me. And we hear when Kevin was reading Psalms 33, do you see how this is beginning to come together? Now I want you to listen as I read Ephesians 6:17. In Ephesians 6:17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Praying always in the Spirit, with the Spirit. Christ brought us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, left behind for us. And these scriptures seem to point us in a direction of peace. Remember, in Matthew 34 through 36, Jesus tells us, I do not bring the world peace. Isn't this interesting when you see these things interlocking together? So Jesus doesn't bring peace on earth, right? Then where is this peace that King David told us to pursue? Where is this peace? This may help us to understand in John 14:27. 14:27 reads, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This tells me that the peace that's being left for me to find is going to be wrapped up internally inside me with salvation and His Spirit left for me, and it is also going to be in the trust and faith that I put in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first time I read the path that says that, or the part that says in 34 through 36 of Matthew's, when it says, I didn't come here to give peace. Basically, I'm going to cause problems. The best way to understand a large percentage of what is in front of us today and the strife that we have inside our families, the strife we have with one another, maybe husband to wife, wife to husband, inside the families, is to understand that the key to peace is trust, trusting God. Trusting God to handle all the details. Because the world has no answer for you. Inside your body, if you are saved and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, your spirit is energized to bring that peace that John talks about. How does that occur? I think it's very simple this morning. I'm going to share a story with you. Every family has strife. The Bible talks about it. And I began to realize that Jesus, when He said, I do not bring you peace to the world, but I give you peace not as the world, not as to the world, but the peace that I give you will last. It will be inner peace in the midst of a continuing war. The Bible and the Scriptures consistently talk about war. So how would you have peace in the midst of it unless you were to evoke the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as we used to say in the old Baptist terms, now the Holy Spirit. Placing that Holy Spirit activated and alive and well in your soul. So I'll tell you a story, and that's how I'll end this. We pull all of these scriptures together to get an understanding of what do we make of a world that's in shambles. We try desperately by coming to places like the wilderness to find peace, and we get a little peace and quiet. And we get a little rest. But it's not very long until something within our midst comes up in front of us and destroys, just smithereens. That peace just goes away. It can happen with one phone call or cell phone call. I don't know about you guys, but I can get one call from my son on this sometimes, and the peace is shattered. So there's the story that I have for you about a family gone, I guess, gone kind of bad. We didn't mean it to go bad, but it did go bad. The family was a good family. It's a Christian family. It's not foreign to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is alive and well in my family and also in my wife Barbara's family. But the story I leave to you today is an interesting story because As the scripture in Psalms says in 33, I want you to remember this because I love it. I love the way that God puts this together. In 33, the Lord talks about bringing nothing to the council of the nations. Then he talks, the plans that we have are of no effect. And then in 34, King David says, come, you children, listen to me. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Peace can only be found internal to you. You've heard in the scripture, Jesus did not come here to bring peace to the world. He came here to bring peace to God's children internally. So in my family, when Barbara and I were going to be married, and Barbara's going to know what this story is all about, this is how I like to sum up a sermon. When you've got God's word that's right there, where did it apply to your life? Where does it apply to your life today? This is where it applied to our lives. Barbara and I had been married before. We had not done what we were supposed to do. We forgot to ask the other people that we married if they had a commitment to give. And we suffered the consequences of that. I didn't know I was to ask the girl that I was to marry if she was committed. I just assumed if she was a Christian that she would be searching herself and that she had found in her heart the right thing for me. And Barb felt the same way about her previous husband. But it ended in divorce for both of us. When Barbara and I got together, we were well on to our lives, into our lives, but we decided, I'll never marry again. But God put us together and the hearts united. The first question that Barbara and I had for each other is, do you have a commitment to give? And we did. We have gone through many more strife and troubles than anything we ever encountered in our previous marriages. Yet we were still together because of that commitment to God. Not just to ourselves, but to God. So here's the way the story unfolds with that phone call that sometimes it's in a personal meeting. We're happy. We're going down. We're planning our wedding. We want to have a great wedding. I want to be in my military whites with my sword and my hat and my all of the gold and my medals and everything. I want it all there. And Barbara wants to be in a nice white dress. And I said, I want to design the dress and we'll have it built because I wanted her dress to be white but also have red, white, and blue starting from the waist and swirling around. And it was going to be a beautiful dress. And my mother found me at her kitchen table drawing this dress. Yes, that's right. I probably should have, instead of an information technology person, I should have been a dress designer. I love things like that. But she found me, my mother found me, and you have to understand, the relationship between a mother and a son is a very special thing. She saw me drawing this dress, and she says, that's a beautiful dress, because I was at this point coloring in the red, white, and blue, and then the rest of the dress. And she says, what are you doing? And I says, well, I was going to surprise you, but I guess this is a good time as any. This is to be Barbara's wedding dress. And she said, Barbara's wedding dress? And I said, yes. And she said, are you getting married? And I says, yes, we are. And we haven't set a date yet, but we know what we want to do, and we want to have our wedding in, my father was from an Episcopal church, my mother's from a First Baptist church, but we wanted to have it in an Episcopal church because Barbara came from a Church of Christ, and we wanted organ music, and so we said, we're going to have it not at the Baptist church or not at the Church of Christ. We're going to have it across the street from the Gene Roden and Sons funeral home, which is my sister's husband owned that. And we're going to have it across the street at the Episcopal church. And my mother said, oh, that's ridiculous. Now, this is a parade that we're designing, and my mother just brought a rain cloud over our parade. It wasn't too far into my conversation in the next meeting when Barbara and I got back together that she gave me a similar story from her mother, in which her mother said, "Oh my goodness, you already did that white dress thing. So you might as well just go to the Justice of the Peace or go into the pastor's office and just get married and get it over with." But to Barbara and I, this was a special occasion because we realized the commitment. We weren't doing it just for us. We wanted to show God we understand, and we're going to celebrate because of that understanding. So I'm going to cut to the chase. The family, and there were more than just the two mothers. There were many people attached to this, okay? The family was not in favor of a big wedding. It was causing such strife in the family that Barbara and I just stopped talking about it altogether. Meanwhile, I was stationed in my military job in Washington, D.C., and I was going to a little church by the name of Mount Calvary Community Church. Pastor Ed was the pastor of that church. Pastor Charlie's the pastor, and I'm the associate there. And the most amazing part of this is as I was explaining my situation to Pastor Ed, he was very understanding, and he says, "Families will do that. They'll go against you." And I read in this scripture this morning that Christ is telling us they will go against you. It's not that family doesn't love you. It's just the nature of how we are made. So Barbara calls me up and she says, "Well, I'm coming. We had planned to have a meeting and get together in Washington instead of you coming down to Paris." I was supposed to go down to Paris, and she says, "Do you want me to just come to Washington?" Because the tide was definitely rolling in the wrong direction in Texas. And I said, "Barbara, why don't you come up here?" And the next night she calls me and she says, "Should I bring the rings?" And I said, "Yes." Got quiet. "Should I bring the dress?" I said, "Yes." And we ended the conversation. She packed her bags. She brought our rings we had made. This is one. It has my favorite whale on it and her favorite whale on it. And we had a maid. One of her friends was a jeweler, and he melted down a bunch of gold for my father's wedding band and a few other things, and that's what we had as our wedding bands. She brought her dress and the rings up, and Wednesday night, I hurried over to church to Pastor Ed at Mount Calvary Community Church and said, "Pastor Ed, can you marry Barbara and I on Thursday?" And he says, "This Thursday?" And I said, "Yes." And he says, "I can do that if you can get a marriage license signed." And I said, "I'll do that." So Wednesday I did that. And Thursday we showed up and we were married with a large crowd of four. Barbara, myself, fully dressed up. She's in her white dress. I'm in my whites. It's summertime. Or fall, and we're all dressed up to the hilt. And Pastor Ed and his wife Evelyn were there, and it was just the four of us. Evelyn, she we've always known her at Mount Calvary. She has always been God's cheerleader, and that day she was definitely God's cheerleader. She orchestrated. She made us come down the aisle. You know, they played the organ music. The next thing you know is we did the Lord's Supper there. We committed ourselves in our uniforms. She took pictures of us, Pastor Ed and Evelyn. Evelyn then ushered us outside, and there in the front of the church, if you know anything about Mount Calvary Community Church, if not, it's on Beulah Street, and the traffic is quite busy on Beulah Street. And she made me take Barbara's garter off out there on that street and was jumping up and down with her hands like this, and everybody was honking their horns, and it was one gala and gay event for sure. After that, Barbara and I had no idea where we would go to celebrate. We are now married. We're still dressed all the way up. And the next thing that happens is that we just decide we're going to just go down to Mount Vernon, the Mount Vernon Inn, because we had gone there before to eat. And we went down to the Mount Vernon Inn, and when we walked in, there was this maitre d' that saw us walking in. And now you have to understand, we're unannounced. I'm in full military dress, medals and everything. Barbara's in a wedding gown. And the maitre d' looks at us, and he immediately begins shuffling his books, trying to figure out, I have a wedding party here tonight? No, he didn't. Finally, he realized, I'm not wrong. So he looked us eyeball to eyeball, and he says, do you have reservations? And I said, no, we just would like to spend a little time in your parlor by the fireplace, if you don't mind. And he said, sure. So he seated us in there, and he was perplexed. He didn't know what to do next, because he's got full military dress and a woman in a wedding gown. He doesn't know what to do. So what does he do? He actually comes in, and he says, you don't have reservations. And I said, no, sir, we don't. He said, would you like to have reservations? I said, sure. That would be nice if you could arrange it. He said, sure, because if you know anything about Northern Virginia and the fine restaurants, is they always have at least one table reserved in case a governor or a senator or a House of Representatives shows up and needs to have a table. They always hold something back. So that night, it was fairly late, 9 o'clock, they ushered us into the table, which was set up all the way into the back of Mount Vernon, where they had placed some candles and lit them on the table. And it was in a nice little alcove. And as the restaurant was full, as we went through the dining room, all the way through three rooms until we got to the very back, what do you suppose happened? The oohs and the ahs, and a little bit of clapping here and there, and congratulations. And we went back, and we were seated, and we ordered, and we sat there, and we were enjoying this candle-lit dinner. And as people departed, they came to the table and congratulated us. It was a constant movement of people congratulating us. And I sat back, and I realized these scriptures. If you belong to him, no matter that your family will go against you, not that they don't love you, but because they're human, no matter that they are not paying attention to what's in their heart, but they're speaking what's in their mind, no matter. Because God has placed you in the palm of the hand. And he will make sure that you get everything that you deserve. We planned nothing. We didn't have to plan anything. God had it planned out. Where the turmoil of the world is not respected by God, he will certainly make it right. And there in a small town and a small church, Mount Calvary Community Church in Alexandria, God made it right. And by doing that, allowed us to forgive our families. And then what do you suppose happened? When we returned home married to Paris, Texas, our families were upset because, well, we didn't get to come to the wedding. Folks, I will end this sermon and story where it began. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. No matter what your family does, no matter what your friends do, no matter what your husband or your wife, however they may get it wrong, seek the peace and pursue it. And the peace is not in the mind of the person coming against you. The peace is already instilled in your heart. Let's pray. Father, this has been your word, and these are your children's hearts. Instill your word, Father, so that our spirits may talk to you daily, hourly, yes, even every minute of this day and every day. Father, help us to pursue the peace that this world cannot give. Lord, we thank you for providing a Savior, for providing that needed line of assurance, safety, and peace from our heart to yours, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray.